So to give a quick overview of our month, I mean of our upcoming, I think I told you about the plans for the church, so they're moving along. Thank you everyone, as I said before, for Kings and Queens and for all of this. We are going to do in May, June, called a Kings and Queens Renaissance Fair. Because almost every place that we talk to, including your law firm, wants to partner with us to do other things. So, in the words of my brother, you guys could better strike while they're still interested. So our thank you card, which will go out before the end of the month, will also give them highlights of that's coming up. But that will be at Vance Park, and it will be a family affair. We'll have kids' activities. We're going to get bounce house. And then we're going to keep it high level in the sense that we will be serving not just picnic, but not burgers and dogs, but it's still Kings and Queens level. We're going to serve steak. We're going to treat them and their family, come to the fair, and there'll be like little activities, a lot like what we do with the carnival, and they can win and different things, and we'll run that, but they'll be particularly invited for that day. And really, again, offices will be able to kind of, you'll be supporting a family to come and play in the carnival games and win prizes and do activities and have a meal for the day, which is kind of cool, right? So it's kind of like, we decided to do like Renaissance Fair to keep the theme of Kings and Queens. And again, once again, there'll be people manning booths, but there'll be this whole, but your, whoever sponsored you, you kind of get a, ring of tickets until they run out, so that's kind of, and then you get, that entitles you to this family of whatever. That was a big thing I noticed different from York, from Baltimore. York has more families that were homeless. That surprised me. Baltimore, it's always singles. York was definitely flat families, and they kept asking us. That was one big reason why we didn't have a lot of people. If we had said yes to families, the place would have been packed, but I don't think we were prepared for the idea, because I've never seen it before, of so many families homeless. So that's why we lighted upon this idea of doing a Renaissance Fair, so now the whole family can attend. And we'll have, and Vance Park is so big that we will really be able to rope off areas, and the jazz band will come back and play, and it'll be just a good time. So that's our big plan for that.
And what's that?
We haven't said it, Pastor Jay. We're about to have our big meeting in a couple of weeks where we set the year calendar, and then we'll make a big announcement and hand it out. But it will include highlights of like that. It'll include the convention where we go down there for a week in Baltimore. These are great fundraisers for the school. We'll start the yard sales back up again. These are good ones, but so that we can continue, because as God does things, we want to really have a big effort to, continue to do the renovations needed, more than one bathroom in the church, and at the same time begin, like the Renaissance Fair, all the proceeds, we're going to tell them, will go toward our youth center. So that's Maple Street. So that will be the next step. So we just will have pulled it in until the next step may be either HVAC or electrical. And so then even if we get that youth center just like almost hollowed out, like watertight, and then like hollowed out where we just have it, kids can even do so many things in there by the winter, because it'll be just a big thing. So please pray for that. A lot of these fundraisers, that's what they will go for, because you never know. I mean, God can do anything. We could be in there by next September. Haller, they really love us, want to partner with us. All they have to do is say okay, and they literally could donate our entire HVAC system, right? And they're the ones who gave us over $3,000 for Kings and Queens. So we want to still partner with them. That's why we have a plan. Niyash is working with the young ones, and we have a plan where every week we have that list. Someone will be visited from that list. And whether we bake them homemade cookies, and one group, and Pastor Jay will be visiting on Wednesdays. So now we have this big visitation list for York. And so they'll be visited every week, different ones, when they'll be given, just dropped off cookies, hey, just we're thinking about you, whatever. Nobody says thank you anymore. And so that's why I think people, even you get your donations, they send you a quick letter, hey, thanks, whatever, but they move on. But nothing like, hey, thank you. Thank you for thinking about whatever. So I think that if we keep that going, then places like Haller, like the Plumbers, already they bought some spaces also. So we have a lot of the right people who have expressed interest, who like what we're doing. It's just, and now they just have to decide, we will donate this or donate that. That makes sense? So they'll be, you know, because even the electrical, we literally have, even the architects, we literally have everybody we need. Everyone that we needed, that we need, donated money to Kings and Queens. Okay, so that's really up to when God would decide or whatever. So that's why we want to keep that going, honoring them and letting them know and giving them the vision when the time hits. So that's one thing. And we're looking to hopefully to partner with some of them. And already that has begun slowly, where we would consider, some would consider, a monthly contribution to the school. Because it is a lot for, I'll give you an example. It's easy to get familiar with this, but like a Niasha gets up and works one job for 2 hours in the morning, works all day at the school, and works another job afterwards, and then has to plan for the next day. And then everyone does hospitality and Bible club and whatever else. And that's a normal day, and we can get used to greatness, I think, of sacrifice. But my prayer is that we can become stabilized with the school, with people, because people like what the kids are doing, and that way it allow our teachers, who do a lot of different things, to not have to work and scramble for all of these other jobs. That would be easier for all of us, and I think it would be beneficial to all that we're doing. Don't you guys think? Yeah. So that's our plan. Okay. We will receive the young lady. Well, everyone knows Sarah from France, but unfortunately she didn't do so well on her driving this week. So the way it works in France is after 20 hours of driving, which they don't allow you to drive more than 4 hours a week, then they give you a little test. Well, she didn't do so well on test, so they can give you another 10 hours. So, yes, yeah, so we won't be able to see her at earliest, but it would be the end of January. Just pray that she does better on tests. part of me, I was like, okay, just let me know, but I wasn't really like praying, like, I don't want her rushing through it and coming here and damaging a car. So I'm like, you know, so let's try to pay attention. Stop at those stop signs and, you know, all of that stuff. So pray for her. Pray for Haley. Haley just started her new job today. Her big prayer is to work really hard and to get her GED and so that she can come back here in the fall. Just pray for her that she can, you know, stay on point and that, you know, that happens. Obviously, we miss her, and she's a great addition. All that God has brought to us have been great additions, you know, in that respect. So we're really delighted to be able to see that happen. Let's see. What else? Okay, in March is our big break, and as such, the big trip. But it's no more going to be Africa. It is going to be Poland and England for sure, not necessarily Cyprus. I found out that for a lot of reasons, but financially, it keeps almost increasing every day. And also, it's not even like the most beautiful time. It's cold. It's rainy.
Snowing.
Oh, yeah, it's snowing. That's how I went into it. And and Alec is really ticked off if we go. And he wants to go with all of us. He wants to plan it, whatever. That's not holding me back, but it just doesn't seem... I think we can make better use of our time. All of that could be said about England just about all the time. So it's not really like we're going to pick a better time. And England is England. And just, although I heard that JR is really angry. So,
The boys are jealous.
So, well, there's something we're putting out there. It's a possibility. Don't tell anybody yet, but I checked into it today that not for the whole trip, but we might put out that some could come for the England part. The boys could, because now they do these, it's going to cost them though, because now they do these what they call basic economy, but they could fly round trip for under $300. But you can carry no luggage but your hand carry luggage.
Wow. And they do that anyway.
Yes.
So that's already how they pack.
So I think some.
Well,
like,
they don't, but when they get there, right. They don't wear nothing but what they have on for like 3-4 days. And then just like one more outfit. That's what Jeremiah, we packed so much clothes for France. I think he wore 3 outfits out of the whole entire time.
Yep, that was when we used to do Camp Life. That was my favorite thing at the end of the week. We would return perfectly the same suitcase to the parents for all the boys. Like, not a bar of soap was touched, not a toothbrush, no change of clothes. And so the parents began pleading with us, you know, like, girls are different. Huge pile. Parents are trying to figure out who owns what.
Yeah.
One girl's wearing somebody else's clothes. They don't care, you know. Boys, whole stacks of suitcases, you know. It was, like, quite the entertainment for us returning them. So that's a possibility. It would be for, like, 4 or 5 days for the guys, because that's quick jump over. They could have 3 or 4 days with us, and then they would go. And then we would continue on to Poland. So we'll see if that happens. I just felt bad of, like, eliminating them from, you know, because they want to do the other trip, you know, which is just to Skype you and shoot their guns. But as Pastor Jay said last night, who's trying to convince them? Like, oh, Alice Kyle's trying to convince Pastor Jay. It's going to be great. We'll be at Skyview, we'll be able to fatigues, and we'll be camping. And Pastor Jay goes, yeah, that's great. I'd love to go to Skyview over England. He was so not happy. And that's when I realized, oh, okay, the only one really excited over this might be, like, Harold and Alex.
Jeremiah was talking about it.
Oh, yeah,
he was? Yeah, about Skyview.
Oh, yeah. So they want to do it, but not like, if it was by itself and the ladies had stayed behind and the boys
then
had
they would
to,
be like, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to Skyview. But now that we're getting on a plane and going somewhere, they're not so happy.
7 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just like, what? They wouldn't mind doing both. And I don't want to, because it's true. I promised them one day that we would do England and it would be very interesting. So I'm not trying to do things that we would want to do all together. And so that's another reason why I think Cyprus, at least Cyprus should go, and then we'll at least make the offer, because that gives them time. And the cool thing about England is that trip is that it could be like, you know, they might, they can work to try to raise some money, and then, like, it's short, and it'll be what it'll be. And I'm not going to, if they come and tell them, the guys, that it's on you, you guys come, you raise your little money, and I'm not trying to whatever, so whatever you have is what you have. You know, it's kind of like financially, I'm not going to, this is not France trip. This is kind of like, you want to come, then you guys come with your hand luggage and, you know, and we'll take care of you, obviously, a place to sleep and all that. But I'm not going to be super monitoring all of, because England is expensive. You know, you want 2 burgers. Well, that was today's meal. Because that's the way England is, you know. It's true, you know. It's like, I definitely learned to diet in England. It's just like, I just thought, this is ridiculous. I'm not paying that money. So I just brought a lot of my own food. And then, or I just didn't have it. It's different. France is way cheaper. But England has more to see. More interest. It's more interesting. Anybody here been to England before? Two. Okay. So yeah, I mean, this one's not a missionary trip. England is pure, like, expose them to some of the places that they've studied, you know, changing of the guard, Buckingham Palace, you know, Big Ben, English countryside, things like that.
It sounds like such a girl trip.
It does, but all the guys are really interested.
I know, but I'm like, it's like all the things that girls love, like, oh, London.
Jeremiah was absolutely fine with me going. He's like,
yes. Now, see, I don't think it'll be all that. That's why I told Alex, because Alex Mancuso was a little bummed, and I just told him, I'm like, okay. If he just takes 2 or 3 guys, I don't want it to be said that we didn't offer.
We didn't offer that.
Yeah. So it's kind of like they make one or two, a few of them, and I think that might be open to them. So, yeah, that's what it would be. And I think the only people who... Well, I only heard Jeremiah. I don't know. Jonathan might, you know, that, who knows what they'll do. So, anyway, so the rest of us, that's our trip. So we just need to put the, you know, the trip has moved, you know, actually a little... Because you were saying that toward the end of March it was harder for you, right?
What?
We moved further back.
That'd be great.
We moved further back to, like, the 4th, which where we were before. So that's even better, just because it's cheaper, which is funny. But because you get near the spring, the money price went up. And so we'll place missionary ticket or whatever tomorrow, and once they hold it for us, and we go from there. And then I need to make some phone calls to find out. That's the other thing, you know, find out how everything else, where
the
we'll stay.
The hold was only for a week. The hold was only for a week.
Okay. So. All right, yeah, we'll have to figure it out. I mean, we'll have a meeting with everybody and have to figure the whole thing out. I just know we do need to grab those tickets while we can. And I'm not like the buck guys. I'm not taking hand luggage. So... That's why, if you're just doing the hand luggage, those tickets are usually almost always still there. But traveling winter in during basically winter in Europe, which is hand luggage, is it's an invitation to a hospital visit for the average lady, I should say. Okay, any question? I know we didn't have like an official meeting yet on that trip, but any question about that trip other than what I said? Well, that's what we've said is that people can make their decision. Most likely, is we're looking at a March 4th or 5th, and then going through the week, going through that week, that's like the England part.
Mm-hmm.
The actual conference itself begins on the 12th.
Oh.
And the reason why there's a little bit of extra time there is because there's this Poland little mini trip that whoever wants to go, and I say that because I've already had people swinging both ways. But it's a trip to Auschwitz and to where Schindler's camp was and the whole nine yards. So that is available. And I would just need to know who wants to go. There is people from different of our churches here that are going and who wouldn't, because I know some of our kids, some parents are not so interested in them going. So, and then some really want to go. So I think we will probably break up a little bit on day trips. It's not in place. It's all in the same place. It's just where people will be going, to see Old Krakow, which is where it's located, or to Auschwitz. It's where people will go for the day. So that includes that part, because the conference itself doesn't begin until the 12th, and then the conference goes to the 16th.
Okay, so then we will come back around that time when it ended?
Yeah. Yeah, because we're not going to do Cyprus.
So, 13 days?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. It's like 11-ish.
Is it?
11 or 12, yeah.
Okay.
Like weekdays, yeah.
Oh, weekdays.
Like, yeah. Like it comes out to 10, actually, weekdays. Yeah.
But it ends on like the Saturday or whatever, but we will put options out. And that's why I'm saying this one's a little different. Like, we can work it out with you. Like, I told Susie that, like if you have a work situation or what have you, you can plan it. Like, I can tell you, like, the 4th or 5th, we'd go to England, and we probably would stay in England, we said, until, like, the 9th. And then we would do that part of the sightseeing part of Poland, getting over there till about the 10th through the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a conference from the 12th through the 18th.
Right.
So you would figure out, do you want to do the whole trip or part of it? But it's not, because it's Europe, it's not so hard to get people to and from the hotel. I mean, sorry, airport. To and from the airport. You would just think, well, this is the part of the trip I would like to go, or I can do the whole thing, or what have you. That's not so hard to do. I would just need to know ahead of time, because booking tickets and all of that kind of stuff is really important. So that part, I would say, unfortunately, we need to think about that, like, soon. Like, Catherine will probably call you very soon and say, what were you thinking? You heard her. What were you thinking? The kids are going to stay the whole time. They actually have all of that vacation, so they don't care, you know. I'll stay the whole time as well, so that's fine for them to stay and see everything and be a part of everything. It'll be good for them. It's the conference is great. You can think of it a little bit like the conference that was in France, except they have a lot more things geared for youth at the European conference. They have a lot of things geared for youth. They have special youth sessions. They have a lot of things that they do. And also the Polish people are incredibly just hospitable. They love everyone coming. So that's why I know they'll love every part of the trip. But so the youth will stay, but I know parents and adults can come and go. So you just have to let me know. We don't need you. This is an invitation trip. Like, okay, France trip was chaperones and kids. This trip, it was on my heart that, you know, certain ladies would come or whatever, or ladies would come, but not as chaperones. This is just a trip, almost like India was. Because we think we have enough coverage for the girls that we invited. So now you don't have to worry about, do you need me to be here for this period of time? Just do whatever is best for your schedule. Does that make sense? Okay. So that makes it easy for everyone. I mean, they'll come to another time, believe me, for the like chaperone trips, and we will have to have meetings and discuss. But this one is not that type of trip. Let's see what else. Also, because we're also meeting Sophie and Taya over there, and potentially Haley, and potentially Sarah. So we definitely have coverage for that kind of stuff. Any other questions? So we said the 4th to the 5th to the 9th, depending on which is cheaper. Then we said the 9th to like the 12th would be the kind of sightseeing around Auschwitz, Schindler's area, Old Town, all that. And then the conference begins on the 12th, and it goes to like 12th to this like 16th, and then whatever the flight time would be, the 17th or 18th flying out. Good to know is that when we fly over there, we're actually making it easier on ourselves. Normally, when you fly any location, it's a minimum of 2 days. But this is cool because we will fly over there, say, in the evening, and we will get there at like 6 a.m. in the morning. So literally that day we can rest, we can relax, and it's a perfect trip that way. So that when we fly home, too, we fly home the same day. We gain all of our time back. So you fly home on a Sunday, Monday, you may change planes, you can do all you want, but you're still going to arrive back home the same day that you left. So that's good for those who have work and different things. It's one of those few places where we're not losing ground or time because of, like, if we go to Argentina, that's why we've put him off for so long. I'm like, we have to really plan almost like a month. It takes almost 3 to 4 days to get down there and to get back. And it's switching of major airports, and you better know what you're doing, and it's not a pretty trip. I know he really, really wants us to come, begs us every year, but when the kids are in high school, but right now, the last thing I want to be doing is bringing those kids down that way, and like, it's just like, let's wait and see when they have an interest. They're the ones who told me, some of them were like, we want to do Africa, but maybe we think it would be wiser to wait a couple of years where it's more, meaningful and where we can be more effective. They said that in so many words. Individually, they didn't even know that the other person had said it to me. So I thought that's very interesting. And that was right around the time I had really, out of nowhere, begun thinking about this European conference. So, I mean, I kind of put it to prayer, and that's how this developed. This is only a month or two after absolutely telling Sophie she would never see me in Europe at the European conference.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things. We eat our hats a lot as Christians. So anyway, that's great. So that's good. All right. So anything else to catch up on? No. I mean, unless you can think of something, I think I've covered everything. Which is great. All right. I just have not a long word, because obviously we've gone long on catching up. But if you can turn to Matthew 27. Father, we pray that you would anoint these words for your presence out. Minister, just praise you in your son's name. Amen. So, it's interesting. We're in a new year, and a new year, it brings a lot. I mean, there's a lot that we drag through. By the time we catch our breath after December, then we're really, we kind of drag through this new year reflections of the past year. And then it kind of, and then maybe all, depending on our situation, many different types of thoughts for the new year. And some come, you know, running out the gate, you know, especially youth. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then some of us maybe in our minds are saying, oh, another winter and nothing has changed, or another, and I'm still, and this is the same thing, or, you know, there are a lot of things, or is this how it's going to be, or how many more winters do I have? You know, the list is long. I think that this is one way that to think about this. But, you know, Christ has died at this time. And he had these women. The Bible talks about them. They're called ministering women. And they walked with him everywhere. And they took care of his needs. And they fed him and the disciples. And they each had a reason to be there. Whether it was the mother of Jesus, and that's her son. And a sword will pierce her heart and has already pierced her heart. Or whether it's a woman who Christ had cast out all of these demons. And she had a reason to follow him because she was released. She was freed. This man that changed her life had loved her like no other man ever would. Each one of them, and we have another mother, and she, her two sons are disciples of his. And she's kind of observing, you know, nurturing, aware. All these women had various reasons why they followed and how they followed. And it's amazing that they followed him throughout this period of time. And I would imagine that hope begins to build, that maybe things will be different. And you begin to understand, you know, the promises. When I was in Israel, and I've said this before, it was interesting to talk with you know, Ramona and Pastor Ben, this husband and wife couple that were there, and by the way, they were coming for a week here at the end of this month. But and they were just talking to me about how devout the Jewish women are, and you could see that when they were praying, they pray, and their section of the wall is always overcrowded. As they bring their burdens and their prayers, and they really know the scriptures, as we would call them. It's they're not so much the extra stuff, but the scriptures they know, which is why it's understandable when Mary knew that Christ was going to be born inside of her. It says she sang out all of these scriptures; they poured out of her, and it's called the Magnificat, and that's when she bursts into song. And when, as well, Hannah would burst into song. And there have been times, whether Miriam or the women would sing praises, but they would sing these words of scripture. They're very close to them. So there's something that's very tender, but very real, that in our response to Christ and our hopes, these deep hopes that we have that we don't necessarily bring to the surface or have many conversations about. They're just there. So these women had put a lot of hope in Christ. But he died. So what happened to that hope? The hope was in this body. And verse, 50, let's see, here we go. And verse 50, and when he had cried with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. He died. And in that moment, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. There was an earthquake, and the rocks were ripped apart, and the graves were open, and many bodies, which were dead, arose and came out of the graves after this resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion, he saw, and they that were with him watching Jesus saw all of these things, they said, truly this was the Son of God. And here we go in verse 55. Many women were there, and they were standing far off, and they which had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among which was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. We in this room all have our different reason on why we follow. Some have followed because maybe they have been aware of great personal sin that God has forgiven them. Some have followed because they have seen great miracles that God has done in their family and their lives. Very often, and we've heard stories like this in India, where sons have come to Christ and the mothers have followed, actually. Some have just had special encounters. We don't know all the reasons. Some maybe have grown up knowing Christ. But they are here, like us, in verse 56. And when evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. So they are just sitting there and kind of in front of this grave. And honestly, I think sometimes I could describe this time, this where we're at right now, in December and January. It's all the hoopla is over. All those who were only hours before jeering and cheering and saying, crucify him. And all the fanfare of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and the centurions, it's all gone now. Everyone's gone home. The show's over. He's dead. No matter what you thought about him, whether your thoughts were happy, whether your thoughts were you were blessed by his life, whether you thought he was a good man and maybe unfairly treated, or whether you thought he had duped your entire nation and you didn't like that he was getting all of this attention. Or whether you're a centurion and you're just on duty and you really just want to get this over because this crowd's out of hand. Whatever it is, we've moved on to a new season. It's the show's over. The headlines of today, they're gone. It's just not, it's over. That man from Nazareth, he's dead. It's all good. So, what's next? Nothing, except a couple of women at a tomb. And honestly, that can be us. The show's over, whatever, and maybe everyone else has given up on this thing. And you have too, but you're still sitting by a tomb. Maybe you had a hope or a desire, but that was years ago. Now you don't have the hope. You're not bitter. You just, it's just a grave. A lot of things die. A lot of things die. Doesn't mean I killed them. They just die. Things die of natural causes. Things die just by accident. Things die of attrition. Things just die. And maybe I can mistakenly put my age, my personal, as I grow older, I can actually attribute the death of something in regarding my age. Meaning, as I grow older, the closer to death, these are these things that I care about. But they're not necessarily connected. This body will grow older. But unfortunately, maybe I can attribute things I've had desires for, things that are what have you, but I can say that, well, they're dead. Why? Because I'm older now. But nobody said that. But I can have this thought that that's the case. Sometimes I can have the thought I've had my chance. Or how about this? I didn't get a chance. But either way, it's dead. And honestly, this is a good time of year to take note. Yeah, to think about that. Because if whatever it is, it's dead in my mind. It's dead there. I sit over against it. And there's a question. But it's interesting because it says, now the next day. Honestly, I don't know what that means. I do know this, that as I sit over against this thing, there's this great portion of scripture that God would at all times have his people. It says in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And today, I want you to think about that. Not as preach the word, not like you're a pastor, but you preach the word with the idea of that, who knows? Who knows what can live or can die? Who knows if it could come about? Because here's the Old Testament has a way where it says this. In Habakkuk 2. Now remember, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be ready. Okay? In season, out of season. That term means when it's fortunate and when it's unfortunate. When it's opportune and when it's when there's no opportunity. And Habakkuk 2:2, he said, the Lord answered me. But before that, he said, I will stand upon my watch and set my ear upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I'll watch to see. These women sat over against the tomb. I don't know what they thought, but why are they there? The disciples are hiding. Why are they there? And you could say, you know, a lot of reasons, but why? There's something else. Why hang around the graveyard? And we know that these women, actually, they didn't want to anoint his body after he died. And he had this desire, but why all of this attention to death? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I like this because it's telling me, be in a state of readiness because you just never know. I can't say what will live or die or what have you, but I had this thought, and we didn't do this because I wanted to other things, but maybe you'll do it alone tonight. Maybe you go home and maybe and then your bed and quiet with no one and tell no one, and you'll write a few things down. Maybe God will trigger something in you that has been dead, that has died. And you write it on a piece of paper and you put it where no one can see it. And this is the second thing I want to say about death and why we have to stay in a state of readiness. When Christ died, it says that what? It says there was an earthquake and that those who were in the grave were raised. You see, you never know when dead will live. You just never know. But even more importantly, they had nothing to do with it. This is why there's almost the rest of Habakkuk 2 in verse 5, it says the just will live by faith. But I can afford that faith because I have nothing to do with making alive. John the Baptist was told, you know, when he was doubting whether Christ was the one, they said, I want you to tell John that the dead, they live again. John is in prison and the dead live again. I could be in prison, I could be out of the situation, and the dead can live again. He said, the blind can see, the deaf they hear. He said, and blessed is he who's not offended in me. Because here's the thing, the dead can live. But it will have nothing to do with you, John. And ladies, it will have nothing to do with you, Christ could say to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. You see, because I rise again because I said I would. And you had nothing to do with that. And those dead who died before Christ was crucified, they had nothing to do with being, they didn't come into town and say, oh my gosh, you see me? It was tough. I was in the ground and I said, now. Dead don't say that. Dead don't say, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, let me get out of here. And I was digging up the ground. I didn't know if I was going to get out. The Bible says the graves they opened. That's a lot of effort. Even if I wanted to, even if you buried me alive, I can't get out of the ground. And whatever is dead is dead. And if it wasn't dead before you buried it, or before something buried it, it's dead now because it's buried. So I am not involved in the making of anything alive. That's the second major point. The first is, you know, that things will sit there and to be ready. And the big reason I can be ready and be instant in season and preach the word and reprove and exhort and like I am not going to, like I don't know. And someone could mock something that's had been dead. And to be honest with you, their mocking spirit, they fall on the ground and they do nothing because they neither killed it and they can neither make it alive. And the voices in my own head, they can neither kill it and neither can make it alive. I can't go to a cemetery tonight and start mocking the dead. They're already dead. Nothing I say is going to add to the cemetery. And nothing I say is going to take away. If I'm yelling at everyone in the cemetery, ha, 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 you know, look at you. It's done. You had nothing to do with it. And guess what? You have nothing to do with changing it. Christ would die. He spoke about it. He said, I lay my life down. No one takes it from me. And I will die and I will rise again. It's completely unrelated to you. You have nothing to do with it. The things in my that we would say, maybe that you would write tonight and you would put somewhere, would have nothing to do with you. They don't. The only thing that you, the only way you can relate to it is that you actually have knowledge of it. But not that you can do anything about it. So that's a beautiful thing. There's no pressure. Nobody's asked me recently to go to any graveyard and to do any work. And even if they did, and I start digging the grave, and I get this body out, and I'm like, come on, you know? Live. Not going to work, right? nothing I can do about it. Decomposed body. Oh my gosh. That's why the prophet said, can these bones live? And you know what the prophet answered? You know, Lord. And that's my final point. Who knows? Who knows? The land of possibility lies with the Christian. Because who knows? Who knows? Maybe God would one day become a man. Never know. Might walk the earth and live with us and we wouldn't even know him. You never know. Might die at our hands. You never know. Might carry our sins and rise again. You never know. Maybe one day a young woman or an older woman would one day hear the gospel and respond to it. You never know. And her life would be different. Oh, the world of possibility, it lies with the Christian. I can write things. I can hope things. And honestly, not like the world does. Their stuff is empty. Mine is based upon a God who can do the things in the realm of you never know. I can walk the graveyard tonight. I can't preach to the dead. I can't dig them up. But you know what I could say? I could preach the word to them. I could write the vision. I could say you never know. And my final the final portion I want you to turn to is Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. Cast your bread. Throw your bread on the waters, for you'll find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for you don't know what evil shall come on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if the tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. You and I have nothing to do with the tree. It falls. There it is. These are things that have nothing to do with us. But I can cast my bread upon the water and I'll find it. It could come back to me. I don't have anything to do with the waves. He that observes the wind, in verse 4, shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap. It's foolish. Who is the bigger fool? The one who says and looks at the sky and so says, or looks out there and so says nothing to things that are dead? Who are the bigger fools? The ones who hope for that which is dead to be made alive? Or the one who look around and they don't do anything? They don't hope at all. Because he that observed the winds shall not sow. It perils. You know what that means? I'll give you a short version, a modern version. That verse is saying it paralyzes you. That's not living. I can afford to live because I have the God of who knows. That's paralysis. So I don't sow. Someone says, oh, you're stupid. You're sowing. You never know. Oh, you're stupid. You're saying the dead can live again. Can you stop it from living again if God were to raise it? No. Well, then what is neither can you. You can't stop it, nor can you make it live again. But there is a God who can. And actually, he encourages me to speak words like these. So why wouldn't I? the bigger fool, only a fool says in his heart there is no God. The bigger fool says there's no God involved in here. And this Mary who sits by the tomb is the same Mary that who would see Christ. It's the same Mary who would have an angel talk to her. She not only gets to know that Christ has risen, but she gets to experience him who is raised from the dead. You never know. As you know not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so you don't know the works of God who makes all. You know, Marcella's been showing pictures of this baby, and this is that, and all of that. But we don't know. I mean, it's just too much. It's so much. Like, who can say? This little life, you know, this little baby, Janelle's little son, and you stare at this little baby, and you're just thinking, that's an impossible thing. You never know. We don't know how it grows. These are what God... We can't know the works of God. So in the morning, sow your seed. And the evening, don't stop. For you don't know whether you shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both alike shall be good. I don't know. So I can sow here, I can sow there. I don't know what will happen. So only a fool says in her heart there is no God. I can afford to write down that which is dead, and to believe that if you choose, God, you could make it alive, to be ready. I can afford to preach that word to it. I can afford to write that vision. And finally, truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. It's a pleasant thing to look up in the morning and to see the sun. It's a pleasant thing to sit by that which is dead here, this grave, and for me to see the God of who knows. Truly, the light is sweet. Any of these things which seem dead. And if a man be lived many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. You know what I would say? Yeah. I'm going to see. We know darkness. No one would have to take me to a graveyard or cemetery and ask me, oh, Latasha, do you know what that is? We know darkness. We know sadness. We know sorrow. And it's good to know one. In fact, in the same book here, it talks about that. That, you know, better is, you know, the day of mourning than the day of gladness. Better to go to the house of mourning. Better to know it. Because we see that. We'll see someone happy-go-lucky and they're all whatever, but they're not aware. They're not, that can make you a fool in of itself. You could be foolish. You can be caught by guile. But you and I, we know sorrow. We know sadness. But let us not forget the God of who knows. Because truly the light is sweet. Let us not forget that Mary and Mary sat by the right grave. They sat by the right grave. Didn't walk the cemetery of that area just sitting by any grave. They sat by the right grave. The grave of God himself. Sit by the right grave. I have no idea, God, of these things. I don't know all of what have you, but I write this for you, and I know that you can do anything. Can these bones live? You know, Lord. But I will sit by the right grave. And I will usher in this new year, not with a stupid resolution or that I can do anything, because last I checked, dead cannot make themselves live. And dead things in my life cannot live because I did anything. But at the same time, I will sit by the right grave. I'll sit by you. I will be ready. I'll have a readiness. I'll be instant in thinking about this. I will understand that, hey, it's possible. I will throw, if you will, my seed to the sidewalk. Which is crazy. But I'll also throw my seed on the field. I'll wonder. I'll live in a state of, I wonder what God would do this year. Or what God could do. I'll believe that he's powerful and that I'm not. And I will take no glory in what I cannot do. And at the same time, I will not be foolish enough to believe that you can't do it. So both are very equally important. It removes me from all of that, but it keeps the relationship. That's a lot what a child does with a parent. They are always aware of the possibilities of what a parent might be able to do. Sometimes it's a little absurd, but they live in that wonderment. So write the dead down today. Not with some name it and claim that it's going to live this year, because you can't make anything alive. Neither can I. But we will be ready. We will preach the word that you are the God who does the impossible. That anything, is anything too hard for you? We will not be among the fools that say that God cannot do this because I'm of whatever age. Ask Sarah. We will not be fools who say that everything is gone and dead. Ask Mary. But we will say, you never know. We will say, who knows? Truly, that kind of light is sweet to think about. Amen. So Father, today, I don't want to make it too long so that people have time to really think about that, but you know a lot of things, and it would be very easy, and we do not make you, you're not Santa Claus. And with this, in the sense of bringing all of whatever we say back to life. You have purpose. You have wisdom. You have all power. So we recognize that. But we also recognize, is anything really dead unless you kill it? And does anything really stay alive unless you keep it? You kill and you make alive. Mary knew that. We know it tonight. So we have seen dead things around us. We sit by them, maybe even right now. But we are not fortune tellers. We are not prophetesses. But we bring before you a few questions. Could you? Would you? Will you? Won't you? Is it time? And we recognize, who knows? Because nothing is too hard for you. Is anything too hard? We usher the new year in with questions, holy questions that honor you, that don't mock you, that are not foolish, but that these are questions that you delight to answer. So answer them, speak to us. We just thank you and we praise you. In your son's name, amen.